It's the 171st phase of the Nerdstravaganza podcast, where the next sequel is always in the works. I'm Tom.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Cam.
And tonight we'll be presenting a retrospective on the Marvel Cinematic Universe's Phase 2, as well as taking a look at what's coming up in Phase 3. But first, we'll remind our listeners that they can check us out on iTunes, where we greatly appreciate all reviews and ratings. But we really, really appreciate those that are positive. And now to kick things off, let's look back a phase and get into our Geekly Weekly Weekly Geekly update. Chris, why don't you go first? What you been up to?
My Gen Con ninja came in for me, and he got me the Fantasy Age and Titan's Grave RPG books that sold out at Gen Con. My shopping ninja basically had to say that, you know, many Banthas had to die for him to get this to me.
Bothans.
Bothans? Oh, I have to turn in my geek card now.
Yeah, we need a new co-host.
I've also been doing an audiobook, The Quantum Thief, by Hanu Rajim, and it's really entertaining and it's really cool. It's very post-singularity, so, you know, even normal humans have quite a bit of gear and technology inside their head. One thing I really got a kick out of was one of the factions in the world basically claim that they are direct descendants of the venerable MMORPG guilds of the day.
Huh.
And they are actually quantum beings. They're not even human. They're like energy beings. And their idea of honoring their ancestors is basically to do a convention / geek nerd party. So on that day, they basically don avatars that look like people in ill-fitting cosplay, drinking beer, playing Xbox, and playing werewolf in the other room.
That's kind of awesome.
And this was written in 2010, and as you know, we've become fans of the werewolf game like just like 2 years ago. Books are written 2 years in advance, so this guy knew about Werewolf Act in 2009, 2008. I definitely suggest it, but if you're the type of person that likes things, your science fiction to be very traditional, like space opera, this stuff is going to be just, it goes all over the place. It talks about Q states and Q this and quantum that. It's very cutting edge science fiction stuff. In addition to that, I just came out with a new short story, Growing Bloom. It's part of my zombie Monster Hunter series. When I say zombie Monster Hunter, I mean, yes, both, that it's a zombie and it hunts other zombies. Great little character named Amy Bloom. So if you guys want to check it out, there'll be the link down below.
Cool, man. All right. That means it is Cam's turn.
Oh, man. My life still is consumed with board games, board games, board games. I finally sort of dug out from my Gen Con avalanche. Got all that stuff squared away, was able to play some of those games. We played Two Rooms and a Boom at the Adventure Game Store. It was a huge hit. Everyone loved it. I loved it. We've been playing it pretty much nonstop for the last couple of weeks. Cthulhu Realms, which is basically Star Realms with a Cthulhu skin. Everyone's been liking that game. And so we've been playing all the games that I brought back from Gen Con. And then all of a sudden on my doorstep came my yellow package from Yellow, the game manufacturer that I was up there doing work for. It was basically another big box of games that we had to start playing. And so we've been playing a lot of those games over the last week or so at the Adventure Game Store. That's just been a blast. I love all the Yellow games and obviously all the games that I brought home from Gen Con, except for the ones that I've been diligently trading on Board Game Geek. I've put together some pretty amazing trades and sales either on eBay or on Board Game Geek. So those are pretty much done. I've got the money and I've already spent that money on new board games, so I was not flush for long. Then, as you guys know, it's always been a dream of mine to, you know, create and publish a board game. I've been working on that. Brian has been very helpful. Brian and I have been working on that diligently over the last couple of weeks, and so that's been pretty awesome. Hopefully that will be something that will materialize in the near future. Other than that, I finished the book The Merchant Adventurer by Patrick E. McLean. He is the guy that wrote the book I mentioned a few weeks back called How to Succeed in Evil. He's like the epitome of like geek satire. It's awesome. He's a really good writer. I would suggest either him or Scott Siegler if you're really looking into something geeky to read. Lastly, but not leastly, I have been catching up on, well, not catching up, but rewatching Doctor Who Season 8. in contemplation of the series coming out next month. September 19th, I believe, is the premiere. So I'm super excited about that. So I wanted to go back and rewatch all of these season 8 episodes, which really, you know, watching them in a row answered a few questions in my mind and sort of recrystallized the new Doctor for me. And I'm liking them a lot more, actually. So I'm anxiously awaiting the new season.
Awesome, man. I have to confess, I have been behind on the Doctor, and you are getting me re-intrigued. Also, we did a little offline discussion of the game you guys have in the works, and it sounds cool, and good job, both of you. I don't want to sound patronizing, but I'm really proud of you guys.
Thanks.
It sounds promising. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm glad to hear that the Doctor also bears rewatching, so I might just have to take you up on that.
We'll all become renewed Whovians.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, Brian, I think that means it's your turn, sir.
Mostly board games. I have been getting ready for the X-Wing, the miniatures game tournament that we're hosting this Sunday. Kind of looking forward to that, kind of really dreading it, because for every person I talk to that's really excited to take out their favorite ships and see how they do, I talk to somebody who's coming up with their cheapest, cheesiest list. It's an interesting crowd, but I think most people will enjoy it. I just kind of hate to see the mixture there. Reminds me of how excited I was about my first event and how utterly cheesy it was when I got there.
Was that the one that I attended as well, Brian?
Yep.
I went there looking forward to actually, cool, the community's going to get together and play, and maybe some people get some prizes. And I, like, basically walked into, you know, I was facing Cobra Kai from Karate Kid. You know, they were taking it way too seriously.
Well, you know, I always say, just like people claim that golf is a good walk ruined, I say a tournament is a good game ruined. Because everyone just, even the players that are laid back, you put them in a tournament for that 50 cents of plastic, and they just become a different person. And it usually isn't for the better. Yeah, the last tournament I did was for War Machine, and it was, what do they call it? Speed metal or death metal or whatever, where every minute is timed and you're like basically playing against the clock as the clock ticks down. And that was kind of it for me. It was just way too stressful.
Brian, do you think that you could reimagine the tournament either presenting people with a random list that they have to just play or by kind of having the prizes raffled? Such that maybe victory just gives you an extra raffle ticket but doesn't guarantee you get a prize. Would that cut down on a lot of that?
Maybe the random list would, but that would also be kind of less fun to play. As far as the prizes go, I think it's just cockbanging that they want. I don't think it's actually the stupid little card that they can get for like $2 off eBay.
It's the sense of accomplishment that comes with making some kid feel like crap by defeating him at a game.
I don't think they look at it like that, but yeah, that's what it usually winds up being.
Yes, okay. Well, listen, I'll say it again. I'm proud that you were able to organize that and that we are official patrons of official play at the Adventure Game Store.
It'll still be fun, you know, no matter what. We're going to have like a barbecue, and most of the people at the very least get along, so there won't be any bickering or anything like that.
Nice. Let's not forget that we're going to have the Apocalypse going on in October. I don't know what that is. It's going to involve Pocky and the Adventure Game Store. Check it out.
Other than that, I think I mentioned before that I do review comics for a local site, the Florida Geek Scene. Mm-hmm. I had the pleasure of reviewing a Metallica biography comic book this weekend.
What?
And just quite entertaining.
So basically an issue about where truth is stranger than fiction.
Not a lot of truth in that book, actually. Interesting book. If you're a Metallica fan, or if, like me, you love to hate them, it'll be out probably this week, probably today it hits the shelves. So look for it in your friendly local comic book store and let me know what you think.
James Hetfield has powers or no?
I think it's really funny. Like, I've always been a Dave Mustaine fan.
Ah.
And they just completely villainize him for drinking alcohol.
What?
Because the rest of them are fucking angels and never touched alcohol, right?
I didn't know they were straight edge, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. That sounds pretty interesting, actually. That's a pretty awesome week. I don't think I could top it. Anything else?
No, nothing better than a Metallica comic book.
That's pretty cool. Over to me, then. I restarted season 3 of Arrow. I kind of started and stopped and I got back into it, and I don't think it's as good as season 2, but it's still pretty good. I feel like they eliminated a certain character like right away, and I don't know if that was because they didn't have a contract with the actress. I didn't think that was a good idea. It's okay. I'm into Arrow again. I will watch the rest of this series, and I will also admit the fact that the actor who plays the Arrow was going to appear at the wrestling event SummerSlam, which I just recently watched, did motivate me to watch it again. Also watched SummerSlam. That particular actor, Steve Arnell, I think is his name, they did a really good job. They didn't have him come in and just dominate. Basically, it's what you imagine would happen to a fit but relatively untrained person in a wrestling ring if wrestling were real. He held his own but didn't dominate. They really did well with that.
Nice.
On the gaming front, I have been absolutely addicted to 1997's Fallout. Yes, that's just plain old, like, RPG Fallout for the PC. Nice. Yeah, I downloaded it on Steam, and I have been just playing it like crazy. Like, you have to save a lot. You have to reload a lot. The game is unforgiving if you make mistakes.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to play that. I'm going to play Fallout 2. I'm going to play through all of the Fallout games, I've decided.
A noble cause.
As someone who you've admitted you're not terribly familiar with Fallout, I'll mention this because it's something I enjoy so much in the game. Did you balance your stats, or did you exaggerate a strength or a weakness or anything like that?
I've been focusing a lot of stuff in guns to the detriment of other skills, if that makes sense.
Like strength, intelligence.
I don't think that I get to set those. I think those are part of my character's stats by default.
It might start with two, but as soon as you can, I highly recommend just nothing in intelligence. Just play an idiot.
Just make yourself stupid?
Yes.
That changes the dialogue and changes the game, right?
That changes so much about the game and in so many accurate but hilarious ways.
See, I didn't go that route. I used one of the prefab characters, and I think I could have set up my stats because I'll cop to looking at some circa 1997 walkthroughs. There's little caveats. Like, if you have an intelligence of one, you will not be able to do this. You will have to use drugs to get past this part. I was like, that's very interesting. That kind of stuff, Brian, basically, like a low int will just change the whole game.
Yeah, it changes a lot of your dialogue options, which are pretty funny to begin with, but it also changes, like, what your character comprehends about the story around him. And if it ever gets complicated, he's just like, look, who do I shoot?
See, my guy's reasonably intelligent, and I've noticed that I have a plethora of options. There is always the me kill you option, but I, you know, don't have to pick that. I should go through as a troglodyte to see if that becomes, like, the only option.
It's shockingly fun.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
And if you manage to get through all the Fallout and you're still waiting for Fallout 4 to come out, I suggest checking out Wastelands 2.
Really?
Yes, yes. They're actually coming out with a director's cut soon, which will add even more goodies and more voiceover stuff.
I believe, Brian, you said the same thing last week, that Wasteland was the predecessor and Fallout was the spiritual successor. Was that not what you told me last week when we discussed this?
Yes, yes. I was actually speaking about the original Wasteland. I think you should try that. But 2 is pretty good too, I hear.
Yeah, and it was kickstarted and recently created, Chris?
It was. I started to play it, and then I found out they were coming out with a upgraded director's cut, which had a lot more stuff and tweaked more balances, and I decided just to kind of sit on my, because as a Kickstarter, I'm getting that director's cut as a free update. So I figured I would just kind of sit on my story, and then I'll start working on it from there.
Well, I will, if I get through the hours of gameplay ahead of me on this and the other games, I will give that a shot.
Worst comes to worst, just do it after Fallout 4.
Yeah, yeah, when I can't get enough post-apocalypse stuff.
You never will, Tom. You never will.
You're right. And speaking of apocalypse, I don't know, this has nothing to do with what I'm about to say, but there's a pretty big event coming up called PAX, and I'm going to that in 2 days. So by the time this is up, I will have attended PAX 2015 here in Seattle, Washington. And I will just add on a personal note that one of the highlights is that my companion is sewing a cat suit from Super Mario 3D World. So she will be dressed as Princess Peach in a cat suit. So
nice.
Yeah, hopefully photos to follow. should be entertaining. And that's it. A little bit of a meandering update for me, given what I thought was going to be a fairly concise one. But that concludes my update. And now, we can move on to news. This will not be concise at all, because, Chris, you have a pretty weighty news topic to discuss, do you not?
I do. I want to digress just for a moment for a shout-out for one of our previous guests, because by the time this episode airs, Chuck Wendig's new novel, Star Wars Aftermath, will hit shelves. So I'm looking forward to reading that, and hopefully we may see Chuck here soon.
We better.
Fingers crossing toes, right? We knew him back in the day.
I believe he is contractually obligated to appear on our show 7 times. Is that not the case?
7 times 7.
I'll have to review the agreement.
Thank you, Cam. Thank you. What's Disney got against our legal department, right?
Right, exactly.
Money.
Yes. Anyway, that's great news, Chris, but you have something maybe writing-related, but a little more weighty, yes?
Because I'm going to be talking about Worldcon, which focuses on basically promoting the People's Choice Award of science fiction called the Hugos. Past few years, there has been a cool trend that there have been more winners that are either or have been doing stories about more inclusive people, whether it's been gender or ethnicity or whatever, or a combination of all of the above. And on top of that, the winners have been more towards literary with a capital L compared to good old-fashioned space opera, which, believe me, there's nothing wrong with that. I enjoy that. I enjoy writing it. But there was a group called the Sad Puppies that thought that the literary thing was going a little too far one way, and they had been promoting kind of a slate of their own about good old-fashioned science fiction, which is not really true, because there's been plenty of science fiction stories that have won back in the day that weren't all space opera and kick-ass adventure. And then there was a group called the Rabid Puppies who took that slate, basically tried to fill everything out. And this Rabid Puppy slate, they said, oh, it's about literature too, but we have to vote on it if it's a gay character, or we have to vote on it if it's about gender or women. And this, obviously, this Rabid slate was leaning much more towards less of that, or saying that there was a conspiracy trying to kill off good old-fashioned science fiction. So that slate by the Rabid Puppies dominated the Hugos. They basically gamed the system. And because of that, the voting was done. The awards were announced this week. And at least 4 categories, nothing was given out, because one of the options, in addition to voting for the nominated pieces, is no award. Like, if you felt like nothing there was worthy of being called the best of science fiction for the year, you could put no award. And that's what people did. And sadly, there are some people that said, because it was not, this slate was nominated by the wrong crew, I'm not even going to bother seeing if anything they suggested was good, and just vote no award. The categories that, you know, punished people, whether they were there deservedly or not: best novella, short story, related work, editor short form, editor long form. And the last time that they had that many no-win award categories is back in 1977. On a brighter note, good news was that the best novel was The Three-Body Problem, which was actually a translated science fiction Chinese novel. So both the author and the translator got awards.
This whole thing sounds very confused, Chris. You have this faction of people who maybe had a legitimate beef about what the definition of sci-fi was, depending on your point of view.
Yep.
But then that was hijacked by people who just don't want anybody that's not like them writing science fiction. Then the response from the organization was to just like, we're taking our toys and going home because you guys are jerks. And in doing so, they punished innocent authors, it sounds like.
Pretty much summed it up.
This sounds crappy any way you look at it.
Well, not the organization, because, I mean, it's not like a council of 12 that vote. I mean, it's a voting public, isn't it?
What it is you can pay $40, and that gives you the right to nominate and vote on 2 years' worth of awards.
But anyone can do that.
Yeah, there are basically 2 levels of doing Worldcon. One is just called an associate membership of some sort. You pay $40, and you can vote, nominate and vote for 2 years. And then there's one where you actually pay more and you actually attend the event.
I see. So the voting body decided to do this sort of blanket response, which may have caught up some innocent parties, it sounds like. That's crummy.
It is. Now, this year was one of the biggest years for that turnout for voting. So a lot of people paid their $40 to put in their 2 cents.
All of Tumblr.
Well, Tumblr, that would have been on the, that would have been against the Sad Puppies, right? Don't they tend to be a little on the, from the left?
Well, but that's kind of what happened, because the Sad Puppies got their nominations and then they didn't get awards.
Wow. So it's all, it's basically a, identity politics kind of ruining this whole, celebration of science fiction, it sounds like.
That's it to some degree. I mean, you know, the Sad Puppies say what they saw as what they thought maybe a trend was an actual full-on conspiracy.
Is it the case that there were some people in the quote-unquote, and this even sounds patronizing, the newly included groups who turned in crappy work but were put up just to be representative of groups that typically are not? Because,
no.
I mean...
No.
No. Okay, so then there's, then they have no case, right? If somebody scribbled in a book with crayon, but, you know, that person fit a description of a minority group they were trying to promote, then you have a case. But since that didn't happen, there is no case to be made. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being more inclusive if that means letting talented people who normally don't get the spotlight have the spotlight.
You know, exactly. And, you know, on their side, there was nobody that went, oh, well, we have to have a slate of inclusiveness and promote these people on there. You know, what they did, no one else did on the other side.
Right.
There wasn't a slate. There wasn't an organized movement.
Mm. Cam, you've been awfully quiet. What are your thoughts on this? Are you just trying to avoid the topic altogether?
I really couldn't give a shit less. It's just so stupid. You know, it sounds like everyone's being childish. They need to just shut the fuck up and let's, you know, get on with it. Reward people who are deserving, regardless of who they are, regardless of where they're from. If they're Chinese, they're Chinese. If they wrote a good book, they should get a fucking award, you know? Like, why all this gaming of the system? Why all this, you know, crying back and forth? It's just, it's tasteless.
Thank you.
There was a great article that interviewed Martin about all of this. His take on it was a lot of people, when they announced this kind of thing, cheered. Like, they celebrated. Yay! No remarkable science fiction this year! That's terrible. Why are you celebrating that? We lost an opportunity to say, this is spectacular science fiction the world should read this year. You're hurting our very genre, like the entire thing. You're hurting science fiction for this.
And speaking of a class act, by the way, Martin held his own little party after the Hugos. And he put out what he called the Alfies, because all the information about the voting is published and you can check it out and you can deduce who could have won if no award was taken out of the picture. And he gave his own little award. He said he hoped this was the only year he would have to do that to the people who didn't get, you know, who didn't get something in that category because no award won.
Oh, that's good. He makes a good point. What genre is more aspirational and inspiring than science fiction a lot of the time? Here it is being ruined by our petty bickering in the modern day. I mean, it's crappy.
BBW werewolf porn.
You know, sum up for me, there's dirt on both sides because bad form of what was done with the Sad Puppies and then the Rabid Puppies especially. But then on the other side, the whole, we're not even going to give it a try. Some people did. And they were like, some of this stuff, we don't know why it was even nominated. But, you know, the whole, I'm not going to read it at all because it was on a slate with somebody's political views I don't agree with, that's poor form too.
Chris, I think we've more or less said our piece on this. It's a shame to have fiction be a battleground for people's weird ideological beliefs. It sounds like a bunch of internet warriors on either side, and it's regrettable that this happened, so... Let's hope this is the one only time that Martin needs to step in and be the adult in the room.
There were a couple of others.
Because he won't be around for long.
Yeah.
Don't say that. He gets mad. I think that brings it around to you, Cam. You got some news for us?
Yeah, I got some decent news here. Good old Arnold and Terminator Genesis. I didn't see it, but from what I heard, it was a stinker. It only brought in $89 million domestically, and I guess the budget was $155 million.
Oh.
But speaking of the Chinese, they may have saved the franchise, or at least given it new life. And, you know, when they first greenlighted Genesis, you know, they wanted to make it into like a trilogy and they wanted to have a television series and, you know, a la Marvel and stuff like that. because it did so poor domestically, that stuff kind of all got put on hold. But over the weekend, I guess the Chinese turned out in droves, and it was the number 4 opening of all time in China, behind, it was behind Avengers Age of Ultron, Furious 7, and Transformers Age of Extinction. And it's slated to make probably $200 million just in China alone, which would make Terminator Genesis the first movie ever to make less than $100 million domestically and break the $500 million mark globally.
Wow.
So that has, the Chinese have breathed new life into the Terminator franchise. And let's see what happens.
Nice.
Yeah. I didn't see it. Did any of you guys see it?
Yeah, I thought it was fine.
Did you? Thought it was good? Okay.
Yeah, it's something. It's you know, time traveling robots shooting each other with machine guns. I mean, that's.
It's slightly worse than the last Transformers movie, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. It's about what you expect.
I would put it over the last Transformers movie, and I have to say the last Transformers movie was probably the best one in the series.
Oh, man. Pokemon, the Fast and Furious card game that has taken the world by storm over the past few years and that many many young people play. Well, apparently there was a little dust-up at the Pokemon World Championships over the weekend. It's a huge event, and it's in Boston, and they give away like over $500,000 in scholarships to you know, kids from all over that come and play Pokemon. But apparently two of the entrants, one guy was 27-year-old, which is kind of old to be playing Pokemon if you ask me, but his name, James Stumbo is his name, 27-year-old, he's the Nebraska state champion of Pokemon, and a friend of his, Kevin Norton, who's 18 years old, which I guess makes a little more sense. And he had also qualified for the world championships. They got in their car, they packed everything up and were ready to go to Boston. And they decided to post a picture on Instagram. But what they posted was a picture of a shotgun and a picture of an AR-15 with the message, "Here, we are ready for worlds. Boston, here we come." Well, apparently someone on the, I gotta give it to the security, someone on the security team at the World Championships noticed this picture on Instagram and put out an alert. So when these guys showed up, the cops were there to meet them, and they found these guys with the 12 gauge shotgun, an AR-15, a hunting knife, several hundred rounds of ammunition, and some other assorted, items that were, not allowed. So God knows what these guys were planning to do with these guns. I mean, I don't know if they just had them, maybe they're scared of people in Boston, or they were planning to do some sort of, rampage or massacre or whatever. But either way, they were arrested on several charges, and any crisis that may have happened was averted. I don't want to say that they were going to do anything because we don't know what they were going to do, but, it's kind of scary that, you have all these kids at a Pokemon conference, Pokemon World Championships, and these guys are showing up with these crazy guns. And I'm a gun owner. I'm all for gun ownership, but, taking them across state lines to an event like that, is a no-go. Good news for you, Tom. In Seattle, Amazon Prime, has been delivering grocery items and stuff like that to your home. I don't know if you take advantage of that. I know you're an Amazon Prime member. Do you do that?
I haven't, but I'm intrigued by it.
Well, to sweeten the pot, Amazon has now announced that they are going to start delivering alcohol, beer, wine, and liquor as well. And they're going to deliver it to you in 60 minutes for only $7.99.
I am. So, on board.
If you want a 12 pack, you just get online, order it, pay $8 delivery, and it's there in 60 minutes. And if you're not in that much of a rush, if you're willing to wait for 2 hours, delivery is actually free. So, order early and often. That is the good news for Amazon Prime, and also good news for you, Tom, and all the other Nintendo fanboys. Well, maybe good news, maybe bad news. I don't know. You tell me. Nintendo filed a patent back in February, just weeks before their announcement of the Nintendo NX console. The thing that has everyone up in arms is that it does not have an optical drive, which is not out of form for typical Nintendo consoles because they used to use cartridges, right? But it doesn't have a cartridge drive either, which signals that either they have some sort of, you know, crazy technology that they're not telling anyone about, or it's going to be an exclusive, you know, it's going to be download exclusive.
Yeah.
So that basically sort of points in the direction of the NX being simply an internal hard drive with a network connection where you will, you know, basically exclusively play downloadable games.
Unless they're just going to distribute them on thumb drives or something. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Unless you have to buy all games on Amiibo or something, you know.
Way to throw down the gauntlet and say we're done with disc-based games, Nintendo. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Some big news. So we'll see what happens.
Somewhere there's a GameStop executive sweating in his sleep.
I got to tell you, I love the idea of games on Amiibo.
Right? Like, I mean, at least it gives it some sort of, you know, some sort of meaning other than just like a thumb drive, right?
How cool would that be? Like, you know, here's my game shelf. Like, you want to play Mario, you pick up Mario. You want to play this game, you pick up like...
That's kind of brilliant. Even if it's just the authentication key that lets you download it, the notion that you buy a figurine to play the game and that's your collection, that's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
I like that idea a lot.
Yeah, that's what we call a value add product.
I don't know if the technology's there just yet of the like speed. Like if it was all on the Amiibo, I don't know, but who knows? Maybe.
Yeah, even an authentication key that lets you kick off a download. You know, like there's some games, all it is all the disc does is authenticate that you start downloading.
Right, right, right.
Something like that. That'd be kind of cool. Brian, that's a really good. You're serving two masters. The obsessive Nintendo fanboy gamer and the obsessive Nintendo fanboy collector, both of which are me.
Nintendo, we're waiting for our check in the mail.
Yeah, yes.
And just as a side note for me, if I have to pay in delivery what I'm going to pay for my beer, I don't need that beer.
You are not a college kid.
Some people really need it.
Well, Chris, $7.99 is cheaper than a taxi ride or, you know, going out to get beer.
Or murdering someone on the way home.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. If you don't want to drive drunk. And like I said, if you just want to wait 2 hours, if you want 2 hour delivery, it's free delivery. When you're in your second to last beer, that's when you order. Don't wait till your last beer. Wait till your second, you know, order on your second to last.
After mixing the Everclear with my beer, I don't remember my college days.
Ugh.
Well, the service could warn you off it, things like that. It looks like you've ordered beer recently. You're not planning to add this to it, are you? We recommend against it.
What's that thing you bought, Tom? The little tube speaker, the Amazon, what's it? The Amazon Fire?
That would be the Amazon Echo.
Amazon Echo, that's right. Yeah, you can order just through that. You can just be like, Echo, order me beer.
Whoa.
It'll come right to your house.
That sounds spectacular, actually. And that's going to talk about some impulse buying.
I'm sorry, Dave, your speech is slurred.
Right, right.
You've had enough. Dave, your Roomba has hid the keys.
Oh, gosh. Oh, man.
So that's all my news.
Cool. That's a nice basket of news, sir. Finally, that brings it around to you, Brian. You got some news for us?
Yeah, kind of exciting news and kind of horrifying news. One of Google's amazing fantasy, we'll never actually be able to do this, concepts has come to fruition. There are contact lenses that constantly test your blood sugar while you're wearing them.
Wow.
What?
I kind of don't care, but I think my grandmother, who has to prick her finger every single day, twice a day, three times a day, to take her diabetes medicine, would appreciate that.
So the mechanism is, you say it keeps track of your blood sugar?
Yeah, it just checks your glucose levels.
Oh, wow. Wow, so you no more pricking yourself for the blood sample to test your blood sugar. That's great. That is, wow, that's like a total lifestyle enhancer, man.
And I'm sure they'll be able to move that into other tracking very soon. I mean, this is a contact lens. I'm no doubt that they'll have other wearables monitoring your health.
It always struck me as barbaric that, like, the only way to tell if you need a shot is to prick yourself with a lancet. I mean, you know, it's bad enough that you have to deal with the shot, but you guys couldn't come up with something better than that?
Just to drop a little science on you, by the way, the healthcare industry considers anything that goes into your eyes as a systemic delivery system. In other words, it's like one level above just going straight into your bloodstream. So if you can check blood sugar, like Brian said, there's a multitude of other things you could probably do with this.
Borg implants that will just inject the insulin.
Yeah, right.
But not in your eye. Not in your eye.
Hell, even some eye drops would be an improvement on the shot, I would imagine. Although I don't know what the mechanism is for delivery of the medicine. Wow, that's good news, Brian. That's awesome. I recently read an article where Google is, or at least its founders, have a mission to make the world a better place with all their wealth, and I think that's very noble.
Speaking of making the world a better place, the police in the state of North Dakota, well, the police lobby, has passed a law that they may now arm their drones.
Huh. Oh no! No. Oh,
shit. This is an actually fascinating story. Representative Rick Becker, Republican of Bismarck, introduced a bill that would curb police violence by saying that they could let's get ahead of this. They can never arm their drones. So they went in and line edited lethal weapons instead of weapons and passed the bill.
Oh, so a drone can totally hit you with rubber bullets.
Tase you, tear gas you, rubber bullet you.
No, I don't know. No,
it's
army
done.
Drones.
It passed.
Can anything good come of this? Really?
No.
That's awful news. The world is not a better place.
How RoboCop of him.
Yeah, right.
Dreadful news, Brian.
I think it's absolutely hilarious in a completely defeatist way that a special interest group can go in and add one word to your bill and just be like, no, sign off on that. Oh, okay, yeah, we're done.
Who did that, do you think? Like, what group? Was it the drone company or was it the police? Did you actually say the name of the lobbying group?
The bill was originally intended to limit the police's surveillance power and banned all weapons on law enforcement drones. Then a policy lobby group was allowed to amend the bill, at which point it only banned lethal weapons. It doesn't cite the group.
Oh, that is so bad. That's terrible. I don't like this lobby group, and I don't like this notion of, I mean, it almost seems like we're worrying about something that's far-fetched, but not really. I don't want to get shot by a death drone.
Those drones will most likely be deputized.
Deputized.
Yes. I'm totally serious. Like, a dog is like a real officer, and if you hurt a dog or whatever, you're facing charges, and if you, God forbid, kill a dog or anything like that, if you damage the drone, they'll just send the entire police force. No, you shot a police officer.
Yeah, and I think, Chris, I think you did some news story about how drones are considered like aircraft, so if you like take one down, it's like air terror. You know what I mean? It's like,
yep.
It's like you've destroyed an aircraft or whatever.
An aircraft, sorry, but that was a police officer.
Yeah, so it's double.
I see a wave of citizen activism where people are just going to shoot these damn things down. Like, at a certain point, we have to say no. Like, you don't get to do this. We don't want these things controlled by you monitoring us at all times and definitely not tasing us. Am I wrong, or?
No, you're spot on.
I mean, the human cops right now, you give them tanks and stuff, and they go to war with protesters with their hands in the air. Now you're going to give them remote-controlled drones? Not to vilify the cops or anything, but you get my point.
Absolutely. It's ridiculous.
God. This show got all political and down, man.
And don't forget that there are several committees that have been forming in think tanks to start putting together ethics and legislation for putting weapons on autonomous units, i.e. drones or anything else we come up with as a robotic soldier or policeman.
It's sad that we're even contemplating this. I mean, it reminds me of the Sentinels from X-Men, say, by way of a segue.
Except there's no mutants. We are the mutants.
Correct. As I said, by way of a segue, away from this dreadful news of the day and into something a little more lighthearted, if you guys don't mind, I would like to get to tonight's topic, which is the Marvel Cinematic Universe as we transition away from Phase 2 and onto Phase 3. Are you guys okay with that, or would you like to bum me out with more dreadful news?
Let's do it.
Okay. So, Chris, this was kind of your topic, and I think you were keenly interested in where Marvel have gone and where they're going with the Cinematic Universe. So why don't you lead us into this discussion?
Sure. Well, the kickoff to it is that Ant-Man is the final film for Phase 2. And when I realized that, I was like, holy spit. And just to recap, it was, the first one was Iron Man 3, and then Thor the Dark World, and then Captain America, Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy, Age of Ultron, Ant-Man, and also you could put the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show in there, especially since Winter Soldier really changed the game for that TV show. I thought, we could go through, give our opinion of how those movies went and where we think they're going, and then also cover and speculate about Phase 3 that's coming up.
Okay.
First off, Iron Man 3. You know, for me, I felt like Iron Man 3 was a nice return to form. The Iron Man 1, I think everybody can agree that the Iron Man 2 was just kind of there. I don't think it really, I mean, I can't really remember off the top of my head what it did to set the stage, if anything, for Thor. But overall, I enjoyed Iron Man 3. And even if more for most of the film, he wasn't in his Iron Man suit, I thought it was a pretty cool movie. What about you guys?
3 was the one where he ends up like sending all of the suits into like suicide mode, right?
Yeah, they destroy it.
If that had a basis in the comic stories, I wasn't aware of it because I don't have an encyclopedic knowledge of Marvel Comics, but I felt that at the time it struck me as a little bit of a slate clearing gimmick for the future movies. But on balance, I like that movie. I really liked it because it started with that Eiffel 66 song, or whatever the heck that name of that group is, the Blue song or whatever. I thought that was a really neat way to kick off that movie, and that, for whatever reason, has stuck in my mind. Anyway, solid way to start off Phase 2. Anyone else agree, disagree?
I liked all the Iron Man movies. I mean, 2 wasn't my favorite, but I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I like them all. The only thing I hate about the Iron Man movies is, what's her name? Pepper Potts.
Pepper Potts.
Whatever her name is, the actress.
She wore less and less clothes as the series went on, so I was honestly all right with that. I never quite understood her costume changes.
What do you mean? Like,
wasn't she wearing like Daisy Dukes and a tight white t-shirt in 3?
Yeah.
She's like the executive assistant that runs a $1 billion company.
Yeah, but yeah, you make a great point, Brian. It's like by the end, they were just like, we know what you really want. So yeah, she's going around in like underwear. Cam, you don't like that actress? You don't think she's good or?
She just, whatever the actress's name is, I can't even remember.
Paltrow.
Sucks.
Paltrow.
Yeah, right. Gwyneth Paltrow. Can't stand her. I can't stand her. No, yeah. She annoys me. But, I mean, whatever. I mean, it wasn't, like, you know, enough to make, like, turn me off of the movie. I wish they would have put someone else in there. But other than that, I liked them all. I even liked the second one with, what's his name, Mickey Rourke.
Yep.
That was him, the guy with the electro whips?
Yeah.
Whiplash was the character he was playing.
Yeah, Whiplash.
Yeah, yeah.
And, what's his name? Was it Jeff Britt? The dude that was trying to take over the company.
Mm-hmm.
The dude abides, except when he's in Iron Man 2.
That's right. He's the one that got the, not Iron Patriot. Wasn't he the War Machine suit or something like that? I don't remember how that went. He was in a big giant metal suit at the end, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. It was pretty
good. And him and War Machine had to, like, destroy him. That's but yeah, right. I like 2. 2 was all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. So, and 3 was a great way to kick off Phase 2. We all agree, Chris. So let's advance.
For sure.
Funny enough. Though, while I enjoyed Thor Dark World while I watched it, I totally forgot it existed until I put this list together. And I think that says something about Thor Dark World. It was kind of okay. I don't think it reached that Marvel standard.
I couldn't sit through it. It bored me to tears, seriously.
Yeah, you know, I didn't really care for it too much when it first came out, but it's been on cable a lot lately. And it's actually grown on me. I've like watched it twice over probably the last like couple weeks. And it's not that bad. Admittedly, I've like been watching it while I've been doing other stuff. But you know, so maybe that's what it was. But it you know, it definitely has grown on me since it came to cable.
Was that the one with the evil elves?
Yes.
Yeah, and Loki and Thor's mother dies and all that stuff.
Oh, and it's revealed that Loki's actually a giant, or did they do that in the first one?
They did that one the first one. This time they revealed that. He's now masquerading as Odin, Thor's father. So he's running the kingdom behind everybody's back. Or ruining the kingdom behind everybody's back, take your pick.
Basically, it had his like little squad of lost boys that helped him out, right? It had Rufio and the fat one and the, yeah, the girl. Yeah, it had the lost boys from the Peter Pan movie with Robin Williams, basically. I remember this movie now. Yeah, it was, I don't know. I kind of wouldn't have minded a sequel to Peter Pan, and this more or less did it. Yeah, it was all right. I can see why Brian couldn't sit through it. I know Brian's temperament in movies is what's the word I'm looking for? He demands not to be insulted.
What's her name's character in that drove me nuts? Kat Dennings. I hate
that
character.
Yeah, she's annoying too.
And I really like Kat Denning, so that was like doubly hard on me.
Was she one of the Lost Boys?
No, she was the assistant. I don't know. Yeah, she was the super intelligent assistant Valley Girl.
No, hipster. She was hipster.
She worked with what's her name?
Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman and the older guy, the Skarsgård or whatever his name is. That's his real name. I think he's like Swedish or whatever actor, who's the scientist.
She was the hipster techie sidekick slash comedy relief.
Yeah. I do not remember her at all. Did she like download the a Cosmic Cubes data onto a solid state hard drive or something?
She channeled that two girls in a pizza place.
Two broke girls.
Yeah. Two broke girls. That's
It was not her finest role.
And this apparently wasn't the finest movie because other than it reminding me of Peter Pan, I just don't seem to remember anything about it.
See, that's my point. It pales in comparison to the other stuff that came out. This was for me the weakest sister of the bunch, probably.
Dustin Hoffman was Hook in that movie too, wasn't he? That was a great movie.
Yeah.
Oh wait, we're talking about Marvel. Sorry. Yes. Can we talk about Peter Pan instead? No. All right, let's move on. Let's move on.
All right. So on the flip side, Captain America: Winter Soldier was probably one of the strongest standouts in the whole lineup.
It was great. Yeah, great, great movie. And Guardians of the Galaxy, great movie.
Yeah, exactly. Well. And I've been funny enough that you mentioned those two. I think that's where Marvel just kind of said out of nowhere to me, at this point, we're going to do something different. We're going to introduce a genre to our superhero film. So you need to bear with us and think about this as being more of a film with a superhero in it than a superhero film. People kind of looked at him a little weird, and then they just knocked it out of the park with Winter Soldier. Because it was supposed to be like an homage to the 1970s conspiracy thriller sort of stuff. And, you know, having Robert Redford in the show was a call out to the particular parts he played back in the day.
All the President's Men and all that shit.
Right? Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, no, that was a great movie.
That movie was cool.
That's been on cable a lot lately, too. I've watched that like four or five times in the last week or so.
I will say I felt like an actual credentialed nerd because I knew what was up with Bucky. Mm-hmm. And then when the whole audience got there, like, oh my God, that's his friend. There was like a girl crying two seats over. I was like, this is great.
You're like, bitch, you didn't see that coming. That's funny.
Yeah, it is definitely one of my favorites. And you know, if you line them up so far, Iron Man 2 was kind of one of the weaker ones. Thor, the second one wasn't as good as the first one. But so far, both of the Captain America films have been excellent.
You're completely leaving out The Incredible Hulk, though, in Phase 1.
Oh, yeah.
That movie was shit. That movie was awful.
You know, for me, it's like the Hulk doesn't even... I mean, I've seen two or three films? I've lost track. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's like Hulk's just not even on the radar now.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take Iron Man 2. I'll take any of those movies over Incredible Hulk any day.
You guys talking about Hulk with which actor in it?
It was Edward Norton.
Oh, yeah. And I think Julia Roberts was Tinkerbell in that movie, too, wasn't she?
And that one was still better than, like, the Ang Lee Hulk.
Yeah, the one that was, like, five or six years before that with Hulk in that one? Eric Bana, that's right.
Which we haven't heard much of since. I think that was one of his... That movie did not do him any favors.
If you'll pardon the pun, that movie was comically bad. It was... Ugh.
Yeah. No, he's been in a lot of movies since, but he's like sort of stuck to a formula. Now he does those like Israeli, like Nazi war, like throwback type movies now, or things like that.
It did, however, ruin the Poodle's career.
Yeah.
I don't want to get out of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but just for a second, why when he threw the poodles against things did they just turn into mist? I never quite... Was the CG budget just too low, or...?
I have no idea.
I don't know, man.
He threw them really hard.
Yeah, they just exploded into atoms. Oh, man.
Oh, Jesus.
Next one up is Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, on my blog, I even wrote about this ages ago, where there was a lot writing on it, and I thought... To an nth degree, there was more than people even thought about. At some point, Marvel has to kind of stray even farther away from superheroes if they want to be a continuing legacy of a studio. You know, thanks to the magic of comic books, you can do anything. You know, you could do just a straight up rom-com if you pick the right comic book title. Like, you know, a comic book title that has nothing to do with superheroes. I mean, that's been done in the past. A History of Violence, Road to Perdition. There was another one that recently came out that you wouldn't have known was based off a graphic novel unless you were a comic book fan.
Archie.
I think people would know that one.
Road to Perdition was not that good, though, with Hanks. And I love Tom Hanks. I mean, that guy's the man, but...
History of Violence, though, I enjoyed. I liked that one.
Yeah, that was decent.
They need to do, it was suggested, like a buddy comedy with Thor and Captain America getting used to, like, 2000 technology, and Robert Downey Jr. just showing up and picking on him every once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely...
I would watch that.
That's definitely interesting.
So Guardians, I will go ahead and say, stole the show for this phase. Like, that, to me, yeah, was their most hard-hitting movie.
I agree with you, Tom. That was my favorite movie, absolutely, out of all these. I mean, even if you throw in the next couple that you're going to talk about, Chris, to me, it was the best, by far, out of all these.
Oh, I enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah, and I really liked Winter Soldier and Age of Ultron. But Guardians was by far the best, I think.
Brian?
I haven't seen most of these. I tried to sit through Thor 2. I loved Winter Soldier. I loved Iron Man 3. Haven't seen Guardian. Haven't seen Ultron.
Well, definitely put Guardians on your list, man. You probably won't be disappointed.
Yeah.
I can't quite explain it. There's just something about it that doesn't interest me.
No, believe me, Brian. I felt the same way. When I saw, like, when I first saw the trailers and, you know, the commercials and stuff like that, I was like, ugh, I'm gonna hate this. And I fucking loved it. It was really good.
I'll check it out.
You should, Brian. The hype kind of turned me off too, as it often does, but it was deserved in this case. It was a great movie.
You know, I guess at some heart I must be a Marvel fanboy, because I saw the trailers for this and I was like, this could work.
I don't know. Maybe it's just I'm not big enough into the comics or something. I don't know a single one of those characters. I mean, I do now because of the stupid I Am Groot jokes and the dancing pants and...
Well, that movie was such a risk on so many levels. It's been covered in the news before, but you know, that nobody knew who these guys were. They were C-D-listers practically in the Marvel lineup. You know, it wasn't really clearly about superheroes in tights. And you know, there was a talking raccoon in a tree with one shtick. It worked. It had a heart, and it was more of a space opera than it really was a superhero film.
That kind of excites me. I dig that.
It's the best one in this generation, Brian. And that's saying a lot, given that we already talked about Winter Soldier and we're about to move on to Age of Ultron, which I think in Marvel's mind was probably going to be the flagship movie of this generation.
Maybe a little ironically.
Yeah, yes.
I suggest to you, Brian, pretend you don't even see Marvel on the title. Just say your friends saw a really cool space opera comedy and go in there. I'm not talking Spaceballs, just, you know, it definitely has the humor in it, and that's kind of what keeps it being propelled forward.
And let's propel forward, speaking of that, to what I assert was probably on the game plan supposed to be the tentpole production, which was Age of Ultron. I thought that movie was great.
Yeah, I did really like that movie as well.
It entertained me, but I don't know, it didn't really get me as much as Winter Soldier or Guardians of the Galaxy did. It felt like it was serving a lot of masters and trying to do a lot of different things. And from what I heard, one of the things that finally told Joss Whedon that he maybe it was his time to wrap up and move on was he had to fight for a lot of the character depth bits, like being on the farm.
Right. And that was my only knock on the movie, was that there was just so much packed into that one movie. You know, we always make fun of movies because they, you know, spread them out into two or three or whatever to make more money. But this is one where I felt like they should have made, like Avengers Infinity War is going to be two, part one and part two. They should have done Age of Ultron part one and part two as well. Yeah, and really taken the time to explore.
Couldn't agree more, Cam. It's definitely justified. It's just, there was so much good stuff going on. It felt like they crammed it in. And you can definitely see why he had to fight to get the character development scenes. Cause like, there's way more badass action we want in the movie. Well, you know.
And by the way, as a side note, James Spader was awesome.
Yeah, he's good. He's good.
Though I did definitely get the vibe. Basically, he was a mental imprint of Tony Stark turned evil. Like, he was a mirror image of Tony Stark as a full-on robot.
Well, that's what they were conveying, right? I mean, does that differ from the character in the comics, or?
Ugh, you want to get into comic book land?
No, not too far. Just to answer that question.
But it's a good segue, actually, because in the comics, Ultron is not created by Tony Stark. It is created by Hank Pym, who is one of the supporting characters in Ant-Man.
Ah, yes. Okay.
But yeah, he was invented for kind of the same reasons, to be, you know, a robot superhero support guy where, you know, everybody was spread too thin. And he decided the best way to take care of all the problems in humanity was to just get rid of humanity. Then you have no problems.
Makes sense. So character-wise... they were faithful, but they had it, they had the creation done by Stark, probably not wanting to make too much of a bet on Hank Pym, who probably is a little more obscure, as was Ant-Man, to be truthful.
Well, I think that was part of it, but also, you know, at that time you'd have had to introduce Ant-Man and get him in there, in addition to the Vision, in a movie that's already filling to the brim with a embarrassment of riches.
Yes. So they decided instead to pull that one gem out of the pile of riches and give it its own movie.
Yeah, that's why I think Marvel definitely said this is the Marvel Cinematic Universe, so they could make decisions like that and say we're going to separate here for the convenience of story and the streamlining of plot versus being faithful to every bit that's in the comic book universe.
Well, but see, I get there was a lot of characters that weren't in that movie because of like the whole licensing rights issues that we've talked about ad nauseum before. But I don't see why they didn't put Pym in that movie, especially because it was Michael Douglas, and especially because it was the very next movie that came out. Ant-Man was the next one to come out. It wasn't like they did Avengers, Age of Ultron in the first phase, you know, or even in the beginning of phase two. Ant-Man was literally the next movie to come out. So I feel like it doesn't make sense to me why they wouldn't have wanted to push that cross promotion.
I think they were being cautious. I don't think that they thought Ant-Man would resonate, even though they pulled one unexpected victory with Guardians. I don't think that they were sure Ant-Man would resonate.
Right. But what I'm saying is I don't think it would have hurt Guardians. I mean, what difference does it make if you're watching the movie and it's Tony Stark, or, you know, it's one of the Starks that made it, or it's Hank Pym character, you know, that you introduce. I mean, it doesn't affect Avengers Age of Ultron, and it can only help Ant-Man. You know, you want to capitalize on all the people going to see Avengers, you know, to maybe get them excited about Ant-Man.
Yeah. Good point.
I don't know. Oh, well, I mean, either way, they did fine. I mean, they did fine with Ant-Man too, so it was okay.
What about Ant-Man? Did you guys think it was good? Stood on its own, good movie, good way to cap off this phase?
For sure. For me, it was the casting. Love Edgar Wright, love Paul Rudd, and love Evangeline Lilly. And, you know, Douglas is cool too. So, like, the casting for me was what did it. But, yeah, I thought it was a decent movie. I don't know if I would have liked it as much if the casting was different.
Chris, Brian, thoughts?
Didn't see it.
I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. Because I don't know, I just got some sort of vibe that it was not going to be, that it was going to be kind of a little subpar. And it was to some degree, there was just something just a little missing from it. But it was overall a solid film, and I enjoyed it. Paul Rudd was great. Michael Douglas was great. Evangeline Lilly was great in it.
Yeah, I have to say, this was an unexpected hit. I wasn't sure what to make of it. Not only did I like it, I wouldn't mind seeing more of it. And I really want to see, is it Wasp, the female character they alluded to at the end?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see. I know a little bit about comics.
Well, actually, Wasp is one of the one-time leaders of the Avengers. She's been one of the missing components as they've been presenting this kind of streamlined continuity to the movie-going audience.
Brian, I'm not sure how we roped you into this episode. I forgot that you actually have kind of been disenchanted with movies in general.
This is a weird phase for me because I enjoyed almost all of phase one and I'm looking forward to phase three, but a lot of these just didn't interest me enough to go out and see them. Like I didn't see Winter Soldier until I think there was a Stars and Encore free preview like a week ago.
Okay, that's fair enough. Let's ask you this, and guys, I think we should transition into an abbreviated discussion of Phase 3, I think. And to motivate that, I think I'll ask Brian this, and maybe we can all come up with a consensus. Brian, let's say Phase 3 maybe draws you in. What proposed movie in Phase 3 is most likely to do it? And this goes for all of us. What movie in Phase 3 are we all most looking forward to?
Civil War.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Closely followed by Guardians 2, the Infinity War 1 and 2, obviously. I mean, it's tough.
I'm with you on Civil War. The messed up thing is Infinity War is more epic and grand than its scale, but there's something about Civil War's like remote plausibility that I think resonates.
Yeah. And it's a lot darker and grittier too. I like that. My dark horse though, for sure, is Doctor Strange. Because I actually loved that comic when I was younger. And Benedict Cumberbatch can really do no wrong. So, I mean, I'm excited to see what that's going to do.
For me, Captain America Civil War, by the time that plot line had hit comics, I really wasn't reading comics anymore. I don't have the touchstones you guys have to be excited about it. After Age of Ultron, I'm just worried that one's going to be another overstuffed movie.
Yes, it needs to be a two-parter, actually. Civil War definitely needs to be a two-parter. They're doing it with Infinity War, which is wise, but I think Civil War could definitely stand to be a two-movie deal.
Not really excited about the Ragnarok Thor. Not really excited about Black Panther. Captain Marvel, eh.
That is going to be the female incarnation.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
We'll see how that goes.
And it is written by women as well, so there should be some, you know, strong female characters.
Nope. Start Sad Puppies movement. We're derailing this. No way.
Don't forget they're derailing Black Panther as well.
Written by black people.
No, I think the knock on that was that it's not being written. I think I saw a story about that. I may be completely making that up, but I think I saw a story about that some people were up in arms that Black Panther is not being written by someone who's black.
Is Black Panther being played by someone who's black?
I would assume. Yes. It's probably Samuel L. Jackson. But what intrigues me about Phase 3, though, is that this is going to be the first, and I think I brought this up in a news story several months ago, this is going to be the first of the crossovers from the rights holders of Spider-Man and Marvel. So there will be a Spider-Man film in 2017, and it will be produced by Marvel. In conjunction with, I think it's, what is it, Sony or Universal that owns the...
I think it's Sony that owns those rights.
Yeah, Sony that owns the rights to Spider-Man. So I'm very interested to see if we'll finally get a good fucking Spider-Man movie.
You think they're going to do like another complete reboot with Spider-Man? Or are they going to... Didn't they leave it off like they were kind of hinting they were going to do a Sinister Six thing or something at the end of the last Spider-Man?
Yeah, that was their attempt to turn Spider-Man into a Spider-Man universe, to do their version of what Marvel was doing. I guess they felt like it just wasn't going to happen.
They're going to give each other shit about New York and not say another word.
I've even heard rumors that Spider-Man's going to make a cameo here and there somewhere, in Civil War, no less.
Okay.
Oh, good. Good. Well, he kind of should. So let me ask you guys this. What's our consensus? Civil War?
We didn't touch on the Inhumans at the end.
That's 2019, but yeah.
We might not even be alive. That's so long from now.
I'm hoping that my brain will be downloaded into a computer by then.
Okay, so Phase 3 is looking promising. Do we have a consensus as to the movie we're most looking forward to in Phase 3? I'll vote first. I vote Civil War.
I second.
I'm going to go a little bit off base with that and say, I'm going to say Doctor Strange. I'm going to take a chance.
Nice.
I'm going to split my vote and then even muddy the water some more. Doctor Strange, because I like the actor. And Guardians of the Galaxy should be just an enjoyable, awesome flick.
Okay, I think we are a fractional parliamentary system or whatever that is, like they have in Europe. So Brian and I have the most seats or something like that. So
if we can vote twice.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, and with Chris essentially playing the role of Greece, the schizophrenic member of the union, right, we declare that we vote twice and we vote for Civil War. Yay!
Yay.
Anyway, some great entertainment coming to us from Marvel Studios. Hopefully they'll eventually get back all of the properties under their umbrella or come to some accord with the other rights holders so that everything gets folded back and made good. I'm tired of promising properties being squandered.
Yes.
I will encourage our listeners not to squander their time listening to lesser podcasts. Rather, they should listen to ours every week. Check us out on iTunes or Stitcher, whatever your listening pleasure.
Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, add us to your Google Plus circle, and join the Nerdstravaganza HQ group on Facebook.
Fly on over to nerdstravaganza.com. Check out this and all of our back episodes. Type Nerdstravaganza into the search bar on YouTube and check out all of our videos, premium content, board game reviews, video reviews, movie reviews, and send us an email at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
And with that all said, Chris, take us away.
Shazam!
I was totally gonna make a Captain Marvel reference. I'm trying to work a BBW werewolf pun in, but I can't seem to, so. Okay, all I've got is a husky, which seems too obvious, and as a former fat kid, I'm familiar with those sizes. That covers your canine and your being larger bodied. And some mixture of lycanthrope and morph as an endomorph, like lycomorphs. I don't know. That's a little too obscure. That's all I came up with.